Thanks, Jerry. Joe, sleep fast. We'll see you back here in the morning. The Blue Jays and Red Sox, a Canada Day day game. A sellout crowd expected to see Mark Burley. So it'll be over in like 10 minutes. So you make sure you get here quick. And the Blue Jays will try for their first win of this series. And to start July off on the right foot. They started June off with a loss and still managed to go 18-9 in the month. And now sit just a game out of first place in the division behind the Rays, Orioles, and Yankees. They're fourth in the AL East, a game back. Time to Jays talk it up. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Take your calls across the network just for a few minutes, but we'll keep it going. On our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590 until 11 o'clock Eastern Time. We begin with David in Toronto. Hello, David. You're the leadoff man.
Thank you. Just curious, with all the runs the Jays get, home runs, and I think they're probably leading the majors in runs and home runs.
Not home runs, but runs.
Is it not scary that they're the place that they're in? Like, should they really not be running away with first place in their division?
Yeah, they should be. They should be, but I think it's a little bit about run distribution, and it's about some problems in the bullpen over the first couple of months of the season that bit them, but that's why it's 162 games.
Interesting. So where do you think they're going to finish this year?
Well, it depends. I think a lot of teams are going to make a lot of changes and going to make a lot of additions, but I think that the Blue Jays have as good a chance to win this division as any other team, probably a better than most.
Okay, thanks. Have a great Canada Day.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I got no crystal ball. I don't know who's going to win the American League East. Nobody does. But, you have four teams separated by one game right now with half a season to go, and the Boston Red Sox are just six games out. So anybody could finish anywhere from first to fifth. You hope that the Blue Jays use June as a jumping-off point. Well, they were 23-29 when the month started. And they went 18-9. Now, they're not going to win 18 out of 27 games the rest of the way, but you don't have to. You just have to continue to play well. Just win more than you lose. And it doesn't have to be much in order to build up and get to where you need to go. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Wouldn't be fair to go to another caller here because we're so close up to the break. So we'll take the break now. When we come back, we'll let the network go, and we will continue our Blue Jays talk right up until 11 o'clock Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. Blue Jays lose it 4-3 to the Red Sox. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
A line drive up the gap on the first pitch, hit deep to right center field. Pilar running over, running, makes the catch. Flips the ball to a fan in the 100 level over the Red Sox bullpen. Pilar has done it again. Oh, what a center fielder.
Tremendous grab there by Kevin Pillar with two out in the ninth and Mookie Betts at third base. I thought that was a double in the gap. No question about it, but Pillar ran it down. Kept it a one-run ball game. Blue Jays wound up going 1-2-3 in the bottom of the ninth against Koji Uehara. And they lose 4-3 to the Boston Red Sox, their second loss in a row to close out the month of June at 18-9. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Back to the phones we go. Manny is in Toronto. Manny, welcome to Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, love your show. Just want to give a quick shout-out to the guys at work at the kebab stall. I just have a quick question with the All-Star voting going on. You know, Josh Donaldson getting the start for the third base. What do you think the reaction would be if a Kansas City Royals started?
Well, I don't know. I think there are only seven that were leading the balloting at one point. But I try not to get too worked up about the All-Star game. I think that as long as they allow fans to vote, things like this are going to happen.
All right. And what do you think, even if you don't think about the All-Star game that much, what do you think the reaction would be if, say, like an ace got injured at the All-Star game and he got lost for the year? Do you think there would be some more like protective measures, or what do you think? Like
It tends to be a pretty reactionary sport, it's true. And if a big-time player got hurt now as opposed to like 30 years ago, or 40 years ago when Ray Fosse's career was basically ended when he got run over by Pete Rose at the plate and he was never the same player. I think there would be a massive reaction. I think there that there would be something. But, you know, here's the thing. You can either have an All-Star game or you cannot have an All-Star game. And baseball has always had the purest All-Star game because you can't you can't not play defense, right? Like in hockey or in basketball or in football where they don't hit each other, where all those All-Star games are just a joke. I mean, the NHL All-Star game is pond hockey, and the NBA All-Star game is basically just let's see who could score more. Baseball, you kind of you have to. You have to play defense. You have to pitch, and it's tough to hit. And so, you know, it's a real event, but it's lost a lot of its luster, which is why they made it worth something. It's, you know, because every interleague play, but more than that, I think everybody being able to see every game of every team whenever they want, there's not as much mystery to that other league, and it's not so super cool when they get together and play against each other. And it had become, instead of a game that you used to be, a game you try to win, a game where the manager's true goal is just to get everybody into the game regardless. So that's why they made it worth something. But it's ridiculous in my mind to have it be worth something and to still have fans allowed to select the starting lineups. So I don't know if there would have been a mass revolt had seven Kansas City Royals been voted to start the game. But I do think that if somebody does get severely injured, all of a sudden there will be a lot of gnashing of teeth and rending of garments and braying about, we need to change this. We must protect our delicate flowers. And a lot of guys will all of a sudden start refusing to go to the All-Star game. Blue Jays lose 4-3 to the Boston Red Sox. More of your calls coming up, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Before we get to the next call, though, let's hear from the skipper. Here's what Blue Jays manager John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's loss.
Before the game, we talked a little bit about the number of pitches that Estrada has thrown. Is it your sense at all that that played into his lack of command tonight?
Could have. You know, I've got no idea. You know, he felt fine. But it was one of the reasons we wanted to get him out of there as early as we could when he was struggling. Just, you know, maybe that was the case. But, you know, he didn't bring it to our attention, but it could very well have been.
I mean, the bullpen held up well after that and kept you in the ballgame again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were great, you know, from Red on down, Schultze, then Delabar there at the end. Yeah, they gave us a shot, you know. They held the game in check because it's one of those games, you know, that, I mean, you know, the way it started, that could get out of hand quick. You know, we just weren't able to really get anything going. You know, we got the home run from Reyes. Felt good. You know, kind of perked everybody up a little bit, but then that was it.
What did you see from Rodriguez that was stopping your offense today?
Well, you know, he's got a good arm, a good live, easy arm. You know, he's probably one of the better ones you'll see. I mean, he's just out in front. He's a great extension. The ball just jumps on you. And with right-handers, he pounds them in enough. I mean, he keeps them honest inside, which is big, you know, for those lefties to do. But he's got some power in there, too. And he was able to drop some change-ups out over the plate. You know, I thought we battled him good. We just couldn't come up with a big hit, you know, after they scored a couple in the first. You know, we're sitting there first and second, one out. came up empty. You know, that was a big part in the game, as early as it was. So, but he's good. I mean, he's. I mean, you can see he's going to be one of the better ones, you know, this year and down the road. It was a great trade for both teams.
John Gibbons talking about Eduardo Rodriguez, the starter today for the Red Sox, who they got for Andrew Miller last year. The Jays beat up on Rodriguez 2 weeks ago, and Rodriguez got him today. And they lose 4-3 to the Boston Red Sox. Just got a tweet from someone who suggests that I need to stop talking about the Blue Jays facing good pitching, that the bats still rely on home runs for wins. If you honestly believe that, you really need to take a look at this team a little bit harder. This is not a home run-based offense. This is an offense with a bunch of good hitters who get on base a lot, and they just happen to have three of the best home run hitters in the game who are not all-or-nothing guys. There are no Chris Carters on this team. Dave is in Vancouver. Hey, Dave. Dave in Vancouver.
Hey, Mike. I realize in about, what, a couple hours there is going to be Happy Canada Day to all Ontarians. You know, Mike, yeah, they're a tough loss there. I mean, as you pointed out there tonight, we were 6-3 in the run one games, and last night it was a couple runs, tonight, and you know, another one. But if you were to tell me that considering, you know, we lost Roman, Sanchez has gone down, Estrada, you know, we're using him. We're fifth starter by committee. You know, unfortunately, Dickey, he has no luck when it comes to run support. And Birdie's doing his usual good job. And it's been a bullpen by committee that we're only one game out. It's pretty amazing. But, again, my concern is that, you know, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think over the last, what, 8-10 games, we're 500 at home. And that's where we got to make hay, because come July, you and I know it's nothing but road games. And as well as the Jays have played, I think, recently on the road, you know, if you can get 500, that's great. But if one of those teams gets hot and they're all about the same level, you know, everybody keeps telling me, oh, well, it's really improved, they're all great. Well, we're back down to, what, 4 or 5 games above 500. I think, Mike, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, I think it comes down to, at the trading deadline, who makes a deal? And, you know, maybe it's not the greatest deal in the world, but it's that extra bullpen guy, or maybe it's an extra starter, or it's maybe an extra guy on the bat, you know, in the lineup, etc. That's the club that's going to win this division. So I'm sure hoping that Rogers, with the so-called extra money available, they're in there as a player, because the fans deserve a playoff team this year. It's a team that's capable of it, but I really think that the club that does do that will be the team that wins this division.
Well, it's interesting because I think they're probably all going to make deals, except maybe Tampa might not. But I think the Yankees will try to improve. The Orioles will try to improve. The Blue Jays will try to improve. The Red Sox will probably try to improve. I mean, they're 6 games out right now. They are still right in this thing with half a season to go. It's funny. When you look back over those deadline deals, you often see that teams that make big splashes don't necessarily have the biggest gains. But for me, I'm always happy to improve a team regardless. And I do think everyone's going to try. It really is the team that's going to play the best over the last 2 months. Out of all four of those teams, I feel like I can almost guarantee that the team that has the best record in August and September is going to win the division. And we'll see. We'll see. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call. Let's stay out west. Jim is in Regina. You're on Jay's Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I've been making that Seattle trip for 10 years.
You going to go this year?
I'm going again this year.
Excellent.
My concern is, by the time they get there, they might be 10 games out.
Oh, clearly. Clearly. Easily,
because
you can expect them to lose 9 games in the standing.
They got that 10-game road trip before the All-Star break.
Yep.
They go home against Tampa Bay,
yep,
who they haven't been able to beat a whole lot.
Right, except last week.
Did.
Yeah, they were good. Last week.
And then that West Coast black hole.
Yep.
Normally, I mean, for the last 20 years, it's about this time of year they start to fall apart.
And it's the exact same group of players here that have been here the last 20 years.
Well, almost.
No.
I mean, the same.
Do you understand the borderline insanity required to suggest that they're going to lose 9 games in the standings over their next 18 games? A team that's coming off a month where it almost set a club record for how well it played?
Yeah, well,
to say, yeah, they're probably going to lose 9 games in the standings over the next 18.
Yes.
You understand how insane that sounds.
For 20 years.
No, they haven't.
All right.
Okay. Thanks. Look, if you want to, if you want something to complain about, if you want to call for prophecies of doom because in some strange way that makes you feel better, maybe because you can tell all your friends that you knew it was coming if it happens, and if it doesn't happen, you can be all excited because they're winning, then you're entitled to that psychosis. But there's no reason to believe that. The Jays went on an 11-game winning streak. 2 days before that, somebody called and said they'd be 10 games out in a week. This is a very good baseball team. And I know it's difficult for some people to wrap their heads around, but this is a very good baseball team. And this is a team, again, that just went 18-9 in June. Nobody called in about a June swoon or anything like that that people used to always love to do, so now they're saying they fall apart in July. And if they play well in July, then someone's going to call me on July 31st and say they're going to go right in the tank because this is the time of year where they always fall apart. This is why we can't have nice things. George's in East York. Hey, George.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
Driving home from the game right now?
Yeah.
A few things. The first thing is, why did Gibbons not pinch hit for Valencia, the bottom of the ninth? He did have smoke up on bottom of the eighth. Why did he leave him in against the righty?
Because Uehara's splits are backwards. Uehara gets lefties out a lot better than he gets righties out. I might have thought about, you know, maybe you pinch hit Russ Martin.
That's what I said, too.
In that spot.
The fellow Yorker should have been up. That's what we said, too. Martin should have been up for Valencia.
Maybe, but Valencia's, I don't know. Maybe Martin should have been up for Navarro. Valencia's certainly capable of running into one, and Uehara doesn't get righties out so well, so I'm sure that's why he left him in.
You think Navarro, like, he's been getting a lot of games. Do you think they're showcasing him for a trade?
No, I don't think you need to showcase Deonner Navarro for a trade. Everybody knows what Deonner Navarro can do. If a team's interested in him, there's no need. They think they're playing Deonner Navarro a lot because John Gibbons loves Deonner Navarro, and he thinks he's one of the team's best hitters. Whether that's right or wrong, that's a whole separate conversation. But John Gibbons really likes what Deonner Navarro does for an offense, and that's why we're seeing so much of him and so little of Justin Smoke, I think.
You know what, Batista's been struggling. What is he now for the last few games?
I think he's 0 for 24 or something.
0 for 24, exactly, 0 for 24.
Maybe
so,
0 for 25.
You know, I don't know what – I'm not going to blame Batista because Batista is, you know, the cornerstone of our team. But is it due to his injury? Do you think he's okay? It's just – what exactly is the problem, the issue there with Batista?
I think he's a human being.
0 for 24?
Yeah, happens. Happens a lot. You know, Joe Carter used to go 2 for 40. It happens. It's happened. It hasn't happened to him in a long time. I mean, I think Scott Carson said that the last time this happened to Bautista was 2010, and that year he, you know, hit 54 home runs. So I'm not worried in the least bit about Jose Bautista.
No, I know, and I'm with you too. But these two games would be huge. Had we had these two games, we'd have been first place right now.
Uh huh.
I'm not. You know what the thing is? I'm not. I know you're a big fan of Gibbons. But it's one run games. It's the small ball. He doesn't do it. We had Travis tonight on third base with one out, and I don't know.
Donaldson to bunt?
No,
really?
I'm not asking to bunt.
Well, what are you asking him to do?
Well, put it at least make some contact driving in the outfield for a pop up instead of swinging for a home run.
But you think the pitcher knows he's trying to do that too, right?
No, I know. But
the pitcher's trying to get him out. It's Josh. You're talking about Josh Donaldson.
Josh Donaldson, you know what? I think Josh Donaldson, if he's playing for the Jays for the next 5 years, he's the best Jay of all time. I love Josh Donaldson. I think, as we all do.
Right, but you wanted him to try to pop up a ball with Devin Travis at third.
At least connect, drive it, bring in a run.
Do you not think he was trying to do that?
swinging for the I saw him swinging for the fences. Did you not?
No, I saw Josh Donaldson swinging like Josh Donaldson swings. I don't want Josh Donaldson to change anything he does ever. Because, as you said, he's got a chance to be the best player on this team. I'll never understand. You have to remember, the other guys are good too. And as much as all you need is a fly ball, the other guys are trying to make sure that you don't get that fly ball. And to complain about Josh Donaldson getting out with a man on third on less than two outs, you're talking about Josh Donaldson. Same thing with Bautista. Same thing with all of them. They're all trying to put the ball in play. They're all trying to hit that fly ball that'll score a run. You know, they were down 4-0 at the time. So sac fly's nice, and you'd obviously take it over a strikeout. You're trying to get a hit. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to hit a ball hard, and Josh Donaldson struck out. There's no small ball to be complaining about. After Jose Reyes hit the home run that brought the Blue Jays back to within a run, the Jays didn't have another base runner the whole game. Nothing John Gibbons can do about that. I don't know why, again, you suggest you're not so sure about John Gibbons, because Josh Donaldson struck out with a guy on third and less than two out. David in Scarborough.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. I usually try to call in once a year, whether I need to or not.
Okay.
This is probably it. Three things on my notepad here. When you have this program on, it'd be nice if you give out occasionally some of the major developments on the farm system, as opposed to just talking Blue Jays for the whole 75 minutes. Sometimes there are very important things, not just saying some guy got two hits or something, not that, but two or three things.
Well, when there are major developments, I talk about major developments.
Well, I don't know. I just, for instance, on Sunday, this past Sunday, the Jays' whole system, including the Jays, won 6-0 for the first time in 5 years. I didn't even hear about it on your station. I actually heard that on the 680 guys. They're not even in a sports station.
Oh, but that's our station, too.
Well, yeah, I know. I realize that. But I'm saying that I didn't hear that as part of any of the broadcasts right through the day. And I also noticed that I had to look it up on MILB that Lansing blew away the opposition in their first part of the I know they do half schedules. I never did hear that. I thought that'd be fairly interesting, I think, to your general listening audience. I think they won 28-12 or something during the first part of the schedule. And won by 4 or 5 games. I don't know who plays for them. Probably nobody would know the names. But it'd be something of general interest to fans to look forward to, instead of always complaining like the last caller did about little nitpicky things.
Well, it's reasonable. I mean, you're the first caller who's ever brought it up, so it's...
Well, no, it wouldn't. I mean, just for a change of pace. I mean, really, if there's some really important things on, it's probably worth knowing. On the same subject, I just noticed that Dalton Pompey has got... super hot recently. I think he's hitting .375 for June or so. Or
yeah, he's done great in Double A. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if he's down in New Hampshire.
Yep.
What are the chances that he might come up soon after the All-Star break? I think he'd be an improvement. If he's assuming he's back to that target, he might be an improvement on left field.
On Chris Colabello?
Well, I mean, okay, you got to get Chris in there somewhere else, but not as a 7-day-a-week player, but as another left-handed bat.
Yeah, I'd like to. I like when Pompey comes back to have him be a 7-day-a-week player. Actually, I kind of want to get him fully cooked and you know, have him ready to be here and to contribute well when he gets back. But I mean, he's certainly killing it, and he's probably going to be back up in Buffalo soon. And if he keeps killing it there, then why not bring him back?
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, he was meant to be something, and I don't know, maybe he'll just be a slump that he'll go back to a slump. But anyway,
well, he's only 21.
The other thing I wanted to mention, I was just curious about this thing. When the Blue Jays give away their bonus prizes, whether bobbleheads or T-shirts or whatever, it's always 100% of the time on a Sunday afternoon. Why can't they do it on other days of the week? I mean, so people who, for my case, is down way next to impossible to go on a Sunday, so I have no chance of getting something, like a cap or a T-shirt or a bobblehead or whatever.
Are they really all on Sundays?
Yeah, 100% of the time. I mean, there were times they used to be able to get some other thing on other days, but what's the point of giving away 20,000 bobbleheads? You're going to get 40,000 people there anyway, so by selling 2,000 more tickets, that just means 22,000 people don't get something instead of 20. But if they give away something on a Tuesday or a Thursday where maybe they give away 15,000 ball players. Almost everybody will get one. And,
or 40,000 people will come on that.
It's hard for me on Sunday because for me to go down on a Sunday, I got to set my alarm for 8:15 in order to get there for 10:15 because by then the lineup is around the block and they're all gone by 11:15 because they open up at 11.
Yeah, they usually are. I'm wondering. I mean, the Bautista bobblehead day was, in fact, a Sunday for sure. The MLB Network reusable bag giveaway was a Friday night. Mother's Day, obviously, was a Sunday. The trucker hat giveaway was a Sunday. Marcus Stroman bobblehead was a Sunday. White panel hat was a Sunday. Wow. There are lots of Sundays. Mittens Day is a Sunday. Man, really? All of these. Canada Baseball Day, that's on a Sunday. I guess that's the way. That's when the Blue Jays feel as though most people can show up. And most people can have the biggest opportunity to get the giveaway. Sunday is the day where the fewest people work, I guess, and the widest population has the chance to show up at the ballpark. But it'd be interesting to see a giveaway spread out throughout the day. You would think if they had one on a Tuesday night or Thursday or something, you get a much bigger crowd than you normally would. Let's go with Michael in Pickering. You're going to be the last one. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on. First of all, I'm a huge fan of what you do and what Joe Siddle does and Jerry Howard, but he wasn't involved in this. But you said some things in the bottom of the fifth against wins above replacement, and I kind of wanted to hit on them, if that's okay.
Yeah, you got a couple of minutes, so sure.
Okay. I guess it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But my issue with what you guys said was you don't, or I believe Joe said this, he doesn't really believe in one tell-all number, right?
I don't want to put words in Joe's mouth, so I'd prefer you talk about stuff that I said.
Okay, so you said that defensive values are difficult to quantify, at least.
At least, if not impossible, yes.
For sure, that is true.
Right.
You also said that there are two different kinds of war statistics. There
also
are more,
true.
There are more. Than two even. But,
well, no, but I mean like Fangraphs war and Baseball Reference war. I don't mean offensive and defensive and stuff like that.
Right. There's prospectus warp as well.
Okay.
It's not a huge deal. I would make many more errors in your position than you do anyways.
Thanks.
I'm not going to rip on you for a dumb, like just one little thing. But there's many different kinds because we value defensive runs saved in many different ways. So Fangraphs takes, like, UZR, I'm sure you know.
Yes.
Ultimate zone rating, and rates it against other players with smaller zones, and then assigns them run values. So anyways, long story, even longer. These run values are different for each position, and it's actually weighted so that defensive value isn't that big of a calculation. So while that shows up in a war statistic, it's going to be decimal points. So it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
So,
the fact that there's still a lot of noise in it and there's a lot of theoretical aspects to it rather than there's a lot of what should have happened instead of what actually did happen is another thing that I have a problem with.
Okay, for sure. I agree with you that there's theories, but like weighted on base average is not really a theory anymore. This is proven to be a better metric to measure a player's offensive value than OPS, which you guys use on the broadcast.
Yeah, OPS has a lot of holes too, for sure. Everything's got a lot. The thing is, it's not a, if you will, it's not a war on war. For me, and sorry that we're up against the clock, it's the fact that a lot of people use war as gospel, and I think that that's a big problem. OPS has a lot of flaws, a lot of noise, a lot of holes as well. There is no one perfect metric to measure anything. And I think if people understood that, then everything would be a lot happier. OPS is easier for people to understand, but it's still not a wonderful tool at all. It can mean many different things. But WAR, too, is kind of unreliable. We'll talk about more tomorrow. Happy Canada Day.